don't work out. People think I work out and it's a tricky thing because I'm not in like the best shape. I'm thin, but you know, I do yoga. I walk on the beach. I will say that I've always been in some sort of relationship with fitness. And I do believe that working out is like a relationship. It's like your relationship with food, which should be a healthy one. It shouldn't be obsessive. I was good if I didn't eat. I was bad if I ate. I, you know, ate a handful of chips and then I have to eat French fries and cake and destroy myself and I'm going to be good tomorrow. You know, that was my whole book, Naturally Thin. It was about that mental torture, that inner lamb screaming, that noise about food. And the same thing goes on with exercise. I see people running around like crazy, obsessed about working out, then eating their weight in everything that whole day. And then they have to work out again because they ate so much because they worked out that morning. You also have to figure out what's good for your personality type. Like I'm thin, but I want to get tight. So I don't need to be running around jumping up and down, doing jumping jacks and dancing and doing the grapevine when I need to sort of tighten and lift. So I did this free YouTube workout today. So I found my former yoga teacher online and there are free videos of her. So a lot of people are joining these online things and I thought I have to subscribe to something. And it's not that I'm not going to spend the $29.99 or the $50 a day or I don't know what it costs, but it's that then it'll make me feel like I have this pressure about it. So today I just went on YouTube and I feel like I'm stealing. Is that stealing? This guy Isaac that is my makeup artist's ex, his name is Isaac, and Christopher Buckle used to go out with him. So am I cheating on Christopher Buckle? I have to ask him if I'm allowed to work out with his ex-boyfriend. This guy, Isaac, has this whole community apparently, and he donates to charity and he works out in different rich people's houses and he shouts you out, which is why I don't want to go on and be part of the online thing because I don't want to be shouted out. Now I'm hacking into someone else's Instagram account to work out on Isaac's thing and not get shouted out. So there's a 15-minute workout for free. So I made Paul do it with me today and it was great. And it's also the Jane Fonda workout. Just so you know, a lot of these current workouts are the Jane Fonda workouts. I'm thinking about taking another Post-it note out and reviving some iteration and modern version of the Jane Fonda workout because that was always manageable and I could do it. And it was like the curves of workouts. It's not like Tracy Anderson where you get yourself into a pretzel, your vagina becomes your asshole, and somehow you're doing these weird, complicated, convoluted moves that you just don't know how your body could do. You're like a contortionist. You're in Cirque du Soleil. That's a lot for me. It's overwhelming. I could do it once, cry and sweat, but then I'm scared to go back. So Isaac's 15-minute thing was like a modern, I don't even know how modern it was. He's just cute and nice. He's got his dog there and we did some 15 minutes and I felt like it worked. And it was for a person who wants to get tone. So I feel like you could just Google around and you could get a different private trainer every day for free just by YouTubing. Is that stealing? Hashtag is that stealing? I think that you should find what works for you because some people need that like sweat and that craziness and that manic spinning type thing, that running, that jumping, that dancing, that jumping jack, that mania, because maybe you're calmer in your life than I am. Maybe you're more, you know, sedentary or maybe just more chill as a person. My friend Sarah is like really monotone and she's just chill. And so she needs that. Sarah here, you're very chill. Sarah, who works with me, is also very chill. She doesn't get that flustered. So she likes big, major workouts too. So I think I've come to something here. I think that your personality type attracts a different type of exercise that works for you. I'd like to do a little side thing about Bikram yoga because forget the fact that I think it was Baron Baptiste, that he was like, he had like crotch-hugging male panties and was sweating on top of other people and like adjusting people with his dick in their face. That's a separate conversation. But when you do things like Bikram yoga or these other things, these places give you like 5 free classes in a row and then you are in the cult. It's just enough days to get you in the cult. And I'm not really a cult mentality, so I can break out. But I've seen people there be like, I did a morning, I did a night, I did 2-a-days. People get into this crazy cult-like exercise mentality. And I don't think that's healthy. Like those people at the gym I used to see, these very, 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 very skinny, skinny, unhealthy looking women that would stay in the steam room for like an hour and a half. Like, you know something's wrong. I did not take crystal meth this morning, if anyone's wondering. So what do you guys think about workouts and your workouts for your own body type and what you're attracted to? I feel like we could really hijack the system by just every day doing some other online free workout. So Dorinda and I were talking about this guy that is the type of guy that like picks you up. You've been on a flight from London to come visit him and he picks you up and wants to go on a fucking hike together versus like going to get a glass of Chardonnay and relax. So I was with Paul on a vacation and we were in the Dominican Republic and we ran into someone that I know who I'm friends with, who I like a lot. And we ran into her and her boyfriend. And we said hi, and then you're like, oh God, are we now on vacation with them? Are we like, you know what I mean? You know how that goes? Like, we really like them, but like, that doesn't mean we're on vacation together. So we showed up, we saw them, hi. We did some meals, and it was totally fun. Hung out on the beach, dip in and out. I'm a dip in and out kind of girl in every way. But in the morning, I guess we were just walking to go get like coffee or get some fruit for the room. And we wake up early, don't get it twisted. But we saw them, and they're like, we just did a hike. Smiling, all fucking happy and healthy and American. And I was like, I fucking hate you. We were just drinking coffee, and I was just like, they're that couple. And they're like, we booked a four-hour Thai massage later, and then we're going to go ziplining, and we're going to go do the paddleboarding through the jungle adventure. And I am not that person. I did have Paul do that, like, 15-minute workout just so he wouldn't leave the room and then get caught into something else. And I wanted to sort of capture him, have him be like sort of like a prisoner, you know, like shackle him to myself. So that's the only reason why I was, you know, working out with him. And once in a while, same thing. If I'll have a yoga person come or I'm doing yoga, but do you want to do it with me? Just because I feel like it'll be good for his body and I'm here and, you know, he's not competitive about exercise or anything. And he always says no anyway. But if he did it, it'd be nice because it's not like he's so into it. I don't like when someone gets super into something. Like, now we're that couple that, like, every day we're doing this. And in fact, we got into surfing and it was not good for our relationship because it was, like, almost competitive. And then he went in and was so excited by it. And I almost got, like, taken by a wave. But he was so excited by, like, being Sean Penn in Fast Times at Ridgemont High that, like, I was drowning. And I was like, I'm high. And he's supposed to enjoy his own experience. He's supposed to be excited when he rides that wave. But because I almost drowned, I was like, why weren't you watching me? Why were you only, you know, he couldn't win. It wasn't his fault at all. But anyway, I feel like you should be an occasional workout with your partner person. Like, a beach walk is lovely. We'll be great old people that go to get frozen yogurt, sit on a bench and take beach walks. That's delightful because you could talk, etc. But being that sort of overly competitive rock climbing, hiking, boot camp, mud runner, that kind of fucking CrossFit couple, no. I don't want to be trained by my boyfriend and enter any kind of fucking weightlifting competition with him cheering me on. I'm not interested in that. That's LA. That couple that shows up in like those short water-resistant shorts at the coffee line together because they've just worked out. That's, you know what LA is? Couples in neoprene shorts showing up to get a blended cafe mocha to show everybody how much they worked out. I actually knew girls in their 20s that would see their guys and be in workout pants even though they didn't work out because they wanted them to think they worked out. Now that's moronic. The other thing about these at-home workouts, which is the same as in shop really, I just adore working out in my pajamas. Like it's just such a, it's so efficient and cost effective. Like I wore these fuzzy drawstring pants that are sweats, not really pajamas, but they're comfortable. So then I sleep in them. I have a tank top in them and I wake up and I'm in like a little warm sweatshirt. And then if I do yoga, I'll just put a bra top under sometimes, but the Isaac one is really about your butt and legs. You didn't even need it. And then do the workout and then you shower. But like you've used that outfit so much. Like you've lived in it, you've eaten in it, you've worked out in it, you've slept in it. You put it in the fucking hamper and you're like, yes, you worked out. The outfit worked out also. So this is unique and interesting to me. You are going to hear a conversation with Josh Richards, who is a TikTok superstar with over 27 million followers. But he's also a 19-year-old entrepreneur who co-founded Talent X Entertainment. He's part of the viral collective Sway LA and launched the popular energy drink Annie Energy. He is the youngest person I've talked to so far, but he is still a brilliant business person who is using media to expand his brand for the next generation. I have to say, I was utterly surprised. He is young, he is focused, he is smart, he is a good person, he is thoughtful, he is romantic. I just thought this was really a good sign for our future. Hi, I have only ever done one other Zoom podcast and it was with Hillary Clinton. So you're my second.
Wow.
So tell me about your family. Like who's in the house now? What's the dynamic? Who runs the show in your house?
Yeah, I'm super close with my family. And that's 100% why I've been able to stay, I guess, grounded, or some people, like, I mean, like you said, I come off nice.
You do.
But that's 100% my mom and my dad, but they've always been really, really supportive as well. So I've always been a kid trying to do like little business ventures since I was probably 12 years old. I was always trying to find ways to make money. So they were used to me doing, you know, these like bizarre projects or needing to go to the stores and buying all these like waxes or dyes or getting a bunch of blank t-shirts to go print or emailing companies with them and them helping me write my emails like when I was younger. So they've always been really supportive, but also making sure that I keep a good head on my shoulders.
They would say that you've always been an entrepreneur.
100%, yeah.
Did you always think that you had that it quality? Did you think you were destined for, you know, something great and to be successful? Did you even think about that? Because at your age, I wasn't even thinking about what I was going to be doing with my life. I mean, I didn't, not until my 30s did I really think about what road I was going to be on. Late 30s too, did I establish any sort of a success. So that's why being so young is fascinating to me and how this whole thing's going to go.
It's a crazy story. And I feel like people might find it hard to believe when I tell them, but ever since, like, as far back as I can remember, I'm going to say 7 years old, I was raised in like a Catholic household as well. So we were a little bit religious. It wasn't like super hard, like every single Sunday, but I would always pray every single night. So before I went to bed, I would always like pray to God that I would be like destined for greatness. Like I knew there was something more. I knew there was something more to me than just like doing the normal college route and then getting a 9-to-5.
You knew or you had a feeling?
I 100% knew.
That's major.
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like I told my parents, it was like I was always doing business things.
Okay. That's big.
Yeah. I just wanted to be seen. Like I knew my name, Josh Richards, would be known. That's what I always thought. If it was known by, you know, 10,000 people or where we're at now, where it's like 25 million, it didn't matter. I just knew that I would be in a place which was, you know, a little not so ordinary.
You'd have an impact. You would not be living an average life. I didn't know a lot about your whole world. And when I thought about, quote unquote, the TikTokers, the social media influencers, I thought only game changers on this podcast, only mavericks, only started from the bottom. Now we're here. The filter is very, very serious. And I don't put people on just because they're famous or because they're rich. They have to have really done something. So in reading about you, I said, let's have this guy on, you know, the whole show, because it is a business story and you're definitely changing a game. And that's sort of what we're talking about. So a couple of things come to mind. Listen, you're young and you have a lot to learn no matter what. And so hopefully you know what you know and know what you don't know.
Yeah, I would say that's something that actually Michael and I have talked about a lot recently is sticking to what you know, right? Because you can be super, super smart in one area, but then the second you step out, you can become a complete moron. So that know what you know and know what you don't know is so important, especially in this business world. And especially when you're a founder, especially when you're investing, because you're either one dealing with other people's money that's invested in you, or you're dealing with your own capital that you're investing, or you have your company with 10 other people involved that you're affecting when you make decisions, right? So for us, we really, really focus on the things we know. We bring in operators and they can do certain things in the company that we don't know. So we're really big on like the plug and play model.
Got it. Okay. And yeah, there have been many fashion designers that have lost tons of money, many chefs, because these are creative types that have thought that they're business people, versus like Calvin Klein had a partner called Barry Schwartz, and that was the business and Calvin Klein was the design. Not to say that Calvin Klein isn't a genius in his own right, but you know, Elton John and Bernie Taupin, like good partnerships are where one person is great at one thing and the other's the other, and the twain don't necessarily meet. Doesn't mean that I'm not creative and a business person and a marketer and a business person, but I know what I don't know. And that's going to be a big thing for you. So that, given that, the money you talk about investing, are you investing your own money or people are just giving you equity because you have a value and sweat equity?
No, I'm investing my own capital.
Interesting. Wow. And does that make you nervous?
I mean, it's so cool to be on the other side of like running or founding a company, right? Like I have my own company, Annie Energy, which we founded and we built and we brought in an operator. Evan Burns is amazing. He helps out a lot with it. He did Long Drink as well. But to be the people that are actually giving the capital instead of going around trying to raise money, right? And to see those young founders or whatever age they are and see how like how driven they are, what their passions are, what I can actually learn from those other founders when I'm going and investing. If I invest and I mess up, then it's a learning opportunity to see, okay, where did I go wrong? What did they say that I should have caught? If I miss an investment and they do well, then I can follow that investment as well and be like, all right, I should do this with my company. Or, you know, this is something that I thought wouldn't work out. Turns out it did. What was I missing? So yeah, I would say I love investing.
An elevator pitch is you being able to tell me what your brand is in an elevator ride. So pitch your brand.
All right. So I'm an entertainer. Started when I was 14. I've been able to grow my following up to 25 million on TikTok, 7.5 on Instagram, and 2.4 on YouTube. I enjoy spreading out my content on social media platforms. I have a podcast with Barstool Sports and really want to keep heading into that. Dave Portnoy and Barstool entertaining category. That's something that really intrigues me. With my social media, I've been able to, you know, step into the business world. I really want to focus on growing out my entrepreneurial portfolio. I founded TalentX management company, manages the top 100 creators, then created Sway within that management company. Within Sway, we were able to build out Annie Energy company. Bryce Hall and I founded together. After that, I started focusing a lot on equity plays and investing my money, teamed up with Triller to become the chief strategy officer over there, acquired a part of Ellen's company, Unhide, and am working with her as well with Snoop Dogg, with Dog for Dog, the dog food company, where we're giving back a dog food bag every time one's bought to a shelter. There's about like 700,000 dogs that are euthanized a year in the States. And I have a dog and there's about 6 in the South. So,
oh, wow.
That's me. That's what I do.
Okay. That's your resume. What I want. And it's amazing. And you're so smart. If you define exactly what your brand is, like it's about being an authentic, edgy, modern entrepreneur influencer, something like that. Mm-hmm. If you have the statement that it is your mission statement, what it means, you will only do deals that stick to that. It'll make it so good. Then every time someone comes to you and offers you something, because you're getting offered everything, you will only do things if they adhere to that brand, or you might adjust your brand a little bit. But I think you're so smart. This is so fascinating for me. What do you think about fame so early? Like, you know, the Justin Bieber, the Michael Jackson, having such enormous fame and things thrown at you so early.
Yeah, yeah. So what I've found is it's a gift and a curse, right? Like not one kid that's in their senior year of school wouldn't say, you know what? Peace out high school. I'll drop out, move to LA, live in a mansion, party it up with my friends and post social media content. Not one senior like in high school would be like, nah, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
When you look at it that way, or you look at it from an outside perspective, it's like they have the best lives ever. But then when I do all those things, like the 3.5 years of work that I was doing in social media to get to the point where I could go to LA at my senior year in high school and like drop out of high school, I was getting made fun of for 3.5 years. Like every day going to school, it was like kind of shitty. And I knew lunch period would be the worst every day because I'm going and sitting down. And it's like, I had my friend group and I was kind of I was a popular kid before I did social media because I played all like hockey. I played soccer. I played basketball. I was like a athlete in a small town. So that's how you kind of get popular in a small town. And then I had my small friend group, whatever, but I would always get made fun of it. And then when you come to LA, you think like, oh, well, now I'm around people that are like me, right? Like now I have social media people. So you make a lot of friends really quickly. You get like a group of 20 friends, but then people start stabbing each other in the back. It's LA. So then everyone's, you know, going down the route of like finding out people are fake. And so that's the biggest lesson I learned, like being an 18-year-old in LA. And it sounds weird, but you need to find like a clique.
Keep it tight. Keep a circle tight. 100%.
Inner circle, stick with them.
And like, not just at your age, by the way. My circle is tight as fuck. Keep it tight.
100%. Yeah, that's my house. That's why I live with these people. It's like everyone in here, I would take a bullet for. And it's like, I don't need to go hang out with anyone else, honestly.
Yeah, by the way, yeah. I mean, if you want to go find friends, you can find them later and you can be friends with people in business. But it's not show friends, it's show business. So you've chosen this road. Dating. dating? Is there a benefit to dating a woman in this world? Would it be nice to find some girl who didn't care? Do you care? Is it just fun? It doesn't matter. What do you think? And what are these girls? Can't you tell right away if they're thirsty and want to be in that house and, you know, want to get a night in the house? Like, what's the deal with all that?
So yeah, for sure. I mean, from my experiences, and it's funny that you bring that up because that's my mom's number one worry is like, you'll never find someone that is for you, just for you. Like, you'll never know, right? So for me, when I had my first girlfriend, my first serious girlfriend, I didn't come public with her for 3 months. So it was like, I dated her for 3 months and I made sure that like, we didn't tell anyone, we didn't post because I wanted to make sure that like, we were having a real relationship, right? And then after that, we slowly started, you know, like posting together, blah, blah, blah. And I've only been with that one girl since I've done social media. So like for the last year and a half, but yeah, there's definitely creators like that focus utilizing their relationship for views, 100%.
So do you think you're overextending and how do you navigate that?
Yeah, no. So that's a, like a daily conversation. I mean, we get pitched probably like 30 companies a day. Like, it's crazy. Like, the amount of companies that are like in emails or pitched to Michael that come back to us. Like, so we're not saying yes to everything. If we were, we would be actually drowning. It's looking at which opportunities are almost too good to give up. And also what we want to do. Like, when we are doing a lot of things that are passion projects, right? Or they're in the category where it's a home run and we're also passionate about it. It's like, we're going to carve out that time. We'll find that time because we just love doing it naturally, right? So there's a couple of things that we do that is just, it loses that feeling of work because it's fun.
So you said that you talked to your parents about business and they nurtured you in all these ideas. Did they teach you about business or you were just born that way?
It was definitely more of a born that way. My parents aren't business people. My dad's more of just like a hard worker and like he will put in hours and hours to understand something until he gets it right. He's a math teacher as well. Like, he's the head of the math department and he teaches calculus at high school. So he's like, he's really smart with numbers. And I think that's what helped me in business a little bit because I'm very analytical and I'm always like studying data. So like, there were little, I think, things they gave me that helped me a lot with my business. And then my mom's also just she's a speech pathologist. So she has to be really good at, you know, speaking to people. She's a people pleaser. So I think me getting both those, you know, skills helped me a lot in the business world because I'm able to turn on charm when I'm going to like business dinners or talking to people that we need to please. And then I'm also able to, you know, when I was growing on social media, it was all studying numbers. Like, I was going to the leaderboards on Musical.ly at the time. And I would go through and I would get my sister to go and follow and unfollow. I think it was 250 people every single day. There was literally a leaderboard that showed who spent the most money on the Musical.ly app, right? As fans, who donated the most money. Mm-hmm. So what I was doing is, why wouldn't I go and target that customer and, you know, get that customer acquisition when it's like, they're right there. So that's how I was thinking at like 14. I hired my sister on a 15% commission-based salary. And like, all these things I wouldn't have known if my dad didn't like help me with the math. And like, we were doing crazy math problems that were actually in the business world. So it was like, my dad would almost target it to that on purpose. But yeah, my sister would go through follow, unfollow. I'd be live. We were targeting the exact customer I wanted. I was an account with 90,000 followers that was beating the 7 and 10 million followed accounts in gifts because I knew which customer I wanted to acquire. I didn't need the 10 million followers that weren't going to donate. At that point, it was just a business. So I needed the 90,000 followers that were going to donate.
So what is your favorite thing? What's your favorite thing that you're doing? I mean, let's talk business and then personal. What's your favorite thing to do in your personal life? And what's your favorite thing that you're doing in your professional life?
All right, personal life, literally any like boys trip. I'm in 100%. We'll do it. If it's like going golfing, if it's a day on the ice, like I'm a hockey player, I love hockey. So if it's hockey, lacrosse, literally anything with the sports or like the boys day, like surfing, beach, whatever.
Male bonding.
100% in. Love it. I'm all about it. Camping trip, ice fishing. Let's go. It's like, you got to vibe with the boys. I mean, it's like girls go on their girls trips.
I got it. It's the same thing. Yeah, great. I love it.
And then for like the business side, I would say there's actually two things right now that I'm like, I think it's because they're maybe a little bit, one's a little new and exciting. So I'm really intrigued by it. And that's sports cards. I love trade, like sports trading cards.
Really?
We're getting really into that. I saw you actually had Gary Vee on the podcast.
Yes.
So yeah, I've been talking with him lately and it's like, I am such a believer. I think they're going to absolutely skyrocket. I've been like buying cards the last few days. I want to start focusing actually some of my social media career and like the content I post on sports cards and trading. It's just like such a cool field. I love it. I think it's cool. So it's like art. I think it's going to be the modern day art where you can actually invest in these art pieces and they're going to be like 100xing, 1000xing.
Fascinating. My father was a major baseball card collector. Like he left his baseball card collection to Joe Torre.
Right. So like baseball is ridiculous. There's cards that go for like millions.
Oh, wow. It's insane. That's a really serious collection now that Joe Torre has it. Well, as you've been talking, I think that whatever your mission statement is or whatever your brand statement is, it should include sports, business, media, and venture capital. So it's not just social media, it's media. So you're taking yourself, it's more serious than just social media. But as I talked to you, this is the things that are jumping off the page, not in that order. And then the last thing is, so if you like a girl or you want to talk to them, do you pick up the phone and call or do you FaceTime or do you only text?
Definitely not only text. I suck at texting. I'm one of the worst texters like ever, but it's like the in-person thing in the podcast. I just like being in person with people. So if I like a girl, I got to go like talk to her in person. Like I'm going to call her and be like, yo, let's go hang out at the beach or let's go on a date. Like
you're a renaissance man. This is what every girl wants to hear. Number one. Okay. That's an excellent, excellent answer. It's beyond what I imagined. I thought you were a person who's going to like get into a relationship and then break up on text. So that's number one surprise. Number two, are you romantic? Do you know what romance is? Do you send girls flowers?
Okay. So I know what it is. Obviously I would say that I'm a little bit of a hopeless romantic, but not in a good way. It's like, I just suck at it sometimes.
You wear your heart on your sleeve, they call it? You wear your heart on your sleeve a little?
No, it's like, I'm just like, I get so like trapped up in like day-to-day stuff that sometimes I forget like, oh, maybe I should plan like a big thing. But every once in a while I will. Like I'll do like Malibu, like let's say like with Nessa, like when we would have like something coming up, if it was like a, you know, we're dating for a year or a birthday or something, it'd be like, I'd surprise them with like, or her with a, like a trip to Malibu. So we'd get like an Airbnb and it'd be like two nights in Malibu. So I'll do things like that.
So the answer is yes. You're a romantic and flowers will always be appreciated. Just letting you know, but good flowers.
Okay.
I think you're wonderful. I'm so glad that
Thank
I had you on for that. This is even longer than I usually talk to anyone. You're wonderful. I wish you all the success and the luck in the world. And if there's anything you need from me or you want to do anything together, tell Michael. He seems great, but you have an amazing head on your shoulders. And I can't wait to hear your homework, what that brand statement is.
100%. I'm off to get on that today.
All right. Thank you so much, Josh.
Thank you.
I thought that was so interesting. I just loved thinking about the influence that Josh's parents have had on his life. And it's kind of not only about who he is, but you see that he's so young that his parents and how they've raised him being such a massive star right now in this next generation that many of us don't even understand, but sort of need to understand our kids and to understand the future and to understand commerce and entertainment and social media and all of that. So I thought that was really fascinating. I'm still waiting to hear exactly what Josh's brand is and if he's going to give me his elevator pitch. I've given him homework, so I can't wait to see if he does his homework. And I find it fascinating that an 18-year-old is making serious business decisions. It's amazing. You can't underestimate our youth. I just love the different types of people and businesses we keep talking about on this show because they're just broadening our horizons together. And every time I read about one of these people, I'm just floored by what people can accomplish, starting from the bottom, ending up here, and just with sheer will, determination, passion, drive, and quality. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to Just Be with Bethany. We love hearing from you and we love getting your ratings and reviews because it's good feedback and we pour it right back into the show for you. Thank you. Just Be is hosted by me, Bethany Frankel. Our managing producer is Fiona Smith, and our producer is Stephanie Stender. Sarah Katnack is our assistant producer, and our development executive is Nayantara Roy. Just Be is a production of Be Real Productions and Endeavor Content. This episode was mixed by Sam Baer. To catch more moments from the show, follow us on Instagram at Just Be with Bethany.